This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We're happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every week on this station.
Do you set aside time each day to be with God and let Him speak to you through His Word? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank You that You are anxious to gather Your children and talk to us about some of the most important issues of life. We ask, O God, that these messages, in whatever form they come, will be of great benefit to us, to draw us closer to You, and to cause us to see how much You love us in Jesus Christ our Lord. So bless this service, we pray, in Your holy name. Amen. St. Luke, in his Gospel, has an abundance of short stories that have a powerful message for the Christian and the church in all generations. Today's text speaks speaks of the stewardship of time, and he teaches us a very, very important lesson if we want to grow as a Christian. Now let me read you this short text that is ours today. It's found in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. It begins with verse 38, and you have read it, I pray, many times. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to come out here and help me." And the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." That's the end of this short story. Now let's, from the very beginning, get this clear. Both women loved the Lord, and the Lord loved them. Yet they were women of different temperaments. I like what William Barclay writes in his commentary. Quote, "We have never allowed enough for the place of temperament in Christianity. Some people are natural dynamos of activity, others are naturally quiet. It is hard for the active person to understand the person who sits and thinks. And the person who is devoted to quiet times and to meditation is very apt to look down on the person who needs to get on with the business at hand. There is no right or wrong. God did not make us all alike. He needs all kind." Now just look at these personalities. Here they're in this home. Jesus had come. Martha loved him, and she wanted to be just as good to him as she could be. So she was preparing a good meal. She knew that there were many days that Jesus did not have enough. But now that he was under her roof, he was not going to go away hungry. She was a kind of a nervous person. I think of her as one who perhaps is quite tall, rather thin, and a bundle of nervous energy. But believe me, thank God for the Marthas, because they are the people who do get things done. And she was going to see to it, to be repetitious, that Jesus got a good meal. On the other hand, when Jesus came in and greeted the two ladies and Martha heads for the kitchen, Jesus sits down in a chair and at his feet sits Mary. He says to Mary, "I'm anxious to sit here with you. Wish that we could get Martha under the same frame of mind that she has to let the kitchen go by and can come in here and sit at my feet. But I have to tell you something. Now, this is rather confidential. I have told this to the disciples, and they can't believe it. They argue with me that it will never happen. But here it is, Mary. I'm not going to be here on this earth with you much longer. I am going to ascend and be with my Father. And so I wanted to share what is going to happen to me in the foreseeable future. I'm going to be handed over to the Romans. They hate me. They're afraid I'll start another religion. They just don't want to have me around. So they're going to get me into Pontius Pilate's court. And I'll be tried, if you can call that a trial. Pilate was not convinced that what I had done was wrong, but he wanted to play the political role of being a good governor, and so he was listening carefully to what the people said. So I'm going to be tried in Pilate's court. And then he is finally going to say that I am to die on the cross. I will be crucified. I'll be buried too. I know that God has taken care of that. But on the third day, I will be raised from the dead. I will come forth from the tomb. And 40 days after my resurrection, I will ascend into the kingdom of heaven, there to be with my Father. And then as the days go by, I will prepare a place for you and for Martha and for your brother Lazarus and for all who trust in me as Savior and Lord. And then I'm going to come at the end to have all the nations stand before me. But until that time, I'm going to come and get you one by one by one. And Mary looked at him and she said, Lord, this is terrible news. I just can't understand it. Why would anybody ever want to crucify you? You who have done so much good, who have raised the dead, who have healed the sick, and have taught as no other person has ever taught. I don't understand it. And Jesus said, well, Mary, neither did the disciples. But tell you what's going to happen. 40 days after my resurrection, at Pentecost time, the Holy Spirit is coming in a new way. And he is going to dwell in your heart. And he will give you the power to understand things that now are dark for you. In other words, he is going to create faith. And what I can't accept on pure reason, I can accept in faith. You can accept in faith. Now it was in the middle of all of this that Jesus was trying to give Mary a picture of what was going to happen, that Martha came into the room and exploded. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to get out here in the kitchen and help me. And at that time, that holy woman, because Martha was a holy woman, brought down on herself a solemn rebuke from Jesus. When he said, and he didn't miss any words, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary, your sister Mary, who has sat here at my feet, has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And that's the way the short story ended. Now, wasn't it ridiculous for Martha to be out in the kitchen cooking up a storm when Jesus is actually talking to her confidentially about things that are eternal? How different. For the Christian, isn't it a bit ridiculous not to find ourselves in church on a Sunday morning, listening to the Word of God, when we have so many hours more that we can devote to what is necessary and to things that are recreational? Isn't it ridiculous to say that you live in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't talk to him every day? I mean by talking that you don't just set aside a little bit of time or a lot of time and read his word and pray. Isn't it ridiculous that we don't belong to some kind of a Bible study where we get together with some of our friends who know the Lord Jesus and share some of these great passages? Just think what we're robbing ourselves of, friend. He wants to talk to us on topics that have eternal dimensions, that are going to be with us right up until the day we breathe that last breath. To comfort us there, he wants to be with us where we walk at the daily hour. What would he talk to us about Well, I think that there's an abundance of things. Just page through your Bible. I turn to example one case that could be a great conversation between you and Jesus, as it is brought to us by the Apostle Paul. It's in 2 Corinthians 5. Begins with the first verse. You want to write that down? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 5. Now here the Apostle Paul is talking. He says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." I've read that passage of Scripture many, many a time. I join some of you who have not gotten over a severe illness or affliction that has come from someone you really love. I have lived with my wife since 1994 as a stroke patient. We had been at the Mayo Clinic to have a kidney stone crushed. When they dismissed her, they said, "Mrs. Larson, you are one healthy person." So we drove home and stopped on the way and had a nice meal and thanked God for it all. And then when we got to our home, I said to her, "I'm going to just take a nap for about 15 minutes before I go back to my office." And I see her there now holding a handful of Christmas cards, for it was the 13th of December. And when I awakened, she was still there, cards in hand. But she couldn't talk to me. She stared out into space. I went and put my arms around her and talked with her and couldn't believe that this was a stroke. Somehow I called 911 and we were on our way to the hospital. For about 5 days, she had no real recollection of anything happening. The doctors would give us no assurance that she was going to live. But there we sat by her bedside. I've never gotten over that. Now, you should have said, "Well, why not? It happens to a lot of people. Something far worse than that." I agree. During these 16 years that we have lived together, her in a condition where she can get around with a walker and in her wheelchair, and we've done some marvelous traveling and had great times together. The memory gets a little bit worse as the years go by, but it does with me too. But Jesus wants to talk to us about that. I would be less than honest with you if I said I do not have times, even yet, where I become tremendously disturbed. What would she be like if she could be her old self? What great projects would she be on? What lives would she be touching with the gospel of Jesus Christ? For she was a very anxious woman to tell her faith. How many people would love her? And sometimes when she lay there in bed, going there before I do, I would look at that body, even yet. And then I think of these words, Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So he goes on. What God is saying to me as I sit at his feet there in his word, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Oh, I know it's natural, he probably says. But listen, the day is going to come when she and you will get rid of our earthly tent that we live in that is afflicted in so many different ways. And we'll have a new body, a body that knows nothing about sickness, knows nothing about death, knows nothing about all of those difficult things that can happen to us while we are here. And what does a stroke do? The stroke draws me closer to my Heavenly Father so that I can fall to my knees in the hours of the night and by her bed hold her hand and say, thank you, God, for what you have done for us. And when this body that cannot walk one step without a walker or by some assistance will have been gone, and we'll have a new body, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what he's talking with me about. I don't know for sure what he was talking to Mary about. I surmise what he was talking about, and I've given that to you already. But isn't it ridiculous that I do not spend more time meditating than I do? Because he says, I got something I want to share with you. Something's going to make you feel better. That doesn't deny the reality of life, but it tells me there's greater days coming in the kingdom of heaven. If we have time for one more. Let's say you're spending some time alone with God, and you come to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, verse 15. It's a long verse. It's what it says. He wants to live in a personal relationship with you. Hear him. I no longer call you a servant, but a friend. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit. And I sit there with closed eyes and listen to what he is saying. Isn't it ridiculous not to hear God say clearly every day, I want to be your friend. I want to reveal to you everything that the Father has revealed to me. You'll still have a lot of questions. But you're not just a servant. You are a servant, but I want you to be my friend. And then he goes on to say, you know, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. I want you in my kingdom. I want to be your God. That's the kind of conversation you'll have with God when you have good stewardship of your time. Listen to him carefully, friend, because you know, it is only when we sit at the feet of Jesus that we really know what he's talking about and how much he really loves us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are willing to take the time to live with us and to talk with us and let us talk to you. God grant that we may not be so foolish, that we would let so many different things take the time when you are beckoning us to sit at your feet. We thank you for that precious word that you have given to us, and we pray that the Bible may be a place that we go on a daily basis. Father, today we pray that many of these passages may ring in the ears of those who are sick, sorrowing, dying. Grant that if they have died trusted in Christ, then the mourner will know that here we have no lasting city, but our loved one is with God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We pray that today's gospel message will provide a foundation of peace and strength for the coming week. If you would like to help us reach thousands of listeners each week with the good news of Jesus Christ, please consider becoming a broadcast sponsor. A gift of $100 or more covers the cost of 1 week's program on the station to which you listen. To find out more about becoming a broadcast sponsor or to make your contribution by credit card or over the phone, you can call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Gifts in any amount can also be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or to use the secure, convenient online donation system on our website at christiancrusaders.org. If you have a neighbor or friend who might benefit from our program, we encourage you to share Christian Crusaders with them. By acting as a lighthouse for others, the Holy Spirit can use your words of hope to guide them in their walk with the Lord. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.